Hello and welcome to this episode of the ESG Fitness Podcast. This episode is going to be all about how diets work and an observation that I've made that you can generally split diets into three categories. Those that focus on limiting food, examples would be low carb diets, low fat diets, keto diets, clean eating, carnivore, paleo. There's some kind of limitation on specific foods. Those that focus on limiting calories, i.e. tracking calories and limiting them. Where would I put meal plans? Probably in the first one, limiting foods. And then the third group would be those that focus on limiting timing. So, for example, fasting or time-restricted eating. All of these methods work for fat loss via the exact same method. They create a calorie deficit. You're either doing so by directly counting calories or you're reducing calories as a side effect of the limitations that you're putting on your diet in other ways, i.e. via time or via food choices. So what is the best way to do it? And largely a lot of the debates around nutrition kind of boil down to this. And it's really up to you. Now, I would argue that the best approach will actually cover all three factors. So what you eat, when you eat, and how much you eat. This is exactly how I coach clients. Some people think that if calories are the primary driver of fat loss, which they are, then the only option would be to track calories. But you absolutely do not need to track calories to create a deficit and thus to lose fat. And some people, including myself, really just don't like tracking that much. That doesn't mean ignoring calories. It just means focusing on them slightly less. If you want to lose fat, and even if you want to maintain a healthy weight, you're probably going to have to be somewhat calorically aware or energy density of food aware, especially given the environment that we live in and the food options that we have available. So thinking about how much you eat, i.e. total calorie consumption, absolutely matters for fat loss. It is undoubtedly impacted by what you eat and when you eat. These things all related. When you eat is important, not just in relation to how much you end up eating, but also metabolic health. And I've gone over that in previous episodes, the one on fasting and the one on PCOS and shift work. Let me just find those episodes. Hold on. Okay, I'm back. It's episode 651 and 661. Go and have a listen to those if you want to know more about the benefits of time-restricted eating. And then what you eat will also impact how much you eat due to satiety, and it will certainly impact your mood, your energy levels, and your health. So any diet that doesn't consider all three of these, i.e. how much you eat, calories, when you eat, and then what you eat, is, in my opinion, quite short-sighted, right? It's not an argument between all of them. It's like, okay, all of them matter. And they kind of all matter because they kind of all impact each other as well. Certainly in relation to what you eat and when you eat will impact how much you eat. Many people then become too calorie focused, and this then impacts food choices via adherence, satiety, health, mood, energy levels, motivation. And if you become too focused on solely food choices and ignore energy intake, this means you might not be in a deficit and thus you won't lose fat. And this is why it comes back to a kind of middle ground approach. A sensible and successful approach is one that considers what you eat, when you eat, and what you eat, and how much you eat. Many people, like I said, now kind of seem to have this fixation on counting calories as the only way to make sure that you're in a deficit. And it's not. And it's not particularly accurate anyway. And the truth is, I just find it a little bit tedious after a period of time. I think it's a very good tool, but it's not something that I want to do long term. The analogy I always like for this is it's like using a sat nav. You probably do need to use the sat nav the first couple of times that you go. But after that, it's like, turn the annoying lady off, you know, like stop having to get your phone out every single meal and plug in the same things. Or even worse, you know, like if you have the same freaking meals most days, and you're still plugging it in and plugging it in, plugging it in, like day after day after day for, you know, years, you're not learning anything anymore. It's like leaving your sat-nav on when you know exactly where you're going anyway. So consider that if you're someone who is thinking of moving away from tracking. Now, I'm also very open-minded to the fact that some people are like, oh, I don't have any negatives to tracking. Like, I actually just quite enjoy doing it. Now, I would question this, and I would question yourself of, yeah, but would your life be easier and more enjoyable if you weren't tracking every little morsel that you eat? But if you're like, no, actually, just really enjoy it. Okay, fine. Who am I to judge? What else was I going to say on that? Okay, yeah, my point being, you need to be in a deficit to lose fat, but you don't need to track to be in a deficit. As an example of this, research finds that when someone goes on a ketogenic diet, they usually eat about 400 to 900 calories less. And people who start fasting in a 16-8 type structure, so really, as you should all know now, because you've listened to the previous episodes, that's actually time-restricted eating and not technically fasting. But anyway, time-restricted eating, generally people eat about 350 calories less on average. Now, this will largely depend on your baseline diet. So as an example of this, like say you went keto, but you weren't eating that many carbs anyway, then it's highly unlikely you're going to be at the 900 calorie side of that kind of range. But most people's primary source of, or biggest proportion of calories come from carbohydrates in your standard westernized diet, which means if you take out like, you know, the biggest proportion of your diet, even if you replace some of that with more protein, I mean, you wouldn't be doing that on a ketogenic diet, but primarily more fat on a ketogenic diet. Again, not that I'm suggesting this, but you will create a significant deficit because you've removed a whole food group. Just an example of how you can create a deficit without tracking calories. One of the most common questions I then get is, how will I know the size of my deficit or if I'm even in one? And the answer is, you won't. You won't know exactly the size of your deficit. You won't even know this if you are calorie counting. This is why we take progress photos, measurements, and weight so that we can see if you are losing fat. Now, you may think that calorie tracking is accurate. You're like, well, I can actually. My app is telling me that I'm in exactly a 500 calorie deficit. Well, unfortunately, that's not particularly accurate, partly due to food labeling, partly largely due to user error, right? Now, this isn't a dig at anyone. And I know there are people who would, you know, literally put their house on the fact that they are tracking calories accurately. I'm willing to bet you're still not. And this is because I can't do it particularly accurately either. And research shows this as well. There was a particular study where they paid people $50 to track their calories accurately. Now, one, they knew that they were being paid to track calories accurately. And there wasn't like a restriction on their calories. It was just like, can you be accurate with what you're eating? And the answer is no, most people were over 200 calories out. So even when you're paid to do so, and there's absolutely no reason that you wouldn't be accurate from like a, oh, you're just lying about what you've eaten standpoint. Like when you're trying your absolute hardest to be accurate, you're still not accurate. And that's tested by doubly labeled water so they can see exactly the calories that you've consumed. And still can't be accurate. So it's certainly not like, you know, it's not a personal attack. It's not a dig. It's just if you're like, oh, I'm sticking to the, I don't know, 1500 calories. I know that my maintenance needs are way over that and I should be in a deficit, but I'm not losing weight. The answer isn't that your metabolism is broken or there's something inherently wrong with you. The most likely thing is you're not tracking accurately. And like I said, not a character flaw, not a personal attack. We all do it. Nobody's tracking accurately. Even those who successfully create a deficit still aren't tracking accurately. It's just that they've managed to create a deficit from their inaccurate tracking, right? Nobody's doing it particularly accurately. It's just another way to try and monitor the food that you're intaking and make sure that you are intaking less food than you expend in terms of energy if fat loss is your goal. That will force your body into using its own stores of energy, also known as body fat, and then you'll lose fat. And it's honestly not uncommon to be way out on calories, like to the tune of 500 calories plus, and in obese individuals, to the tune of over 1,000 calories, which is likely to be your whole deficit. And this is why it's so important to consistently, or to have something consistent that you can then adapt if needed, right? So you monitor progress, you stick to something consistently, and then if anything needs to change, then we change it. I'm going to keep this one short and sweet, as I came here to make one point. It was that I have made it, and that's the end of the podcast. If you are thinking about joining Commit Six, we are keeping it open until Wednesday, because at the time of recording this, it's a bank holiday weekend. And I'm also going to let Jane from Commit to Six convince you that now is the right time. She says, "Happy Easter, everyone. Welcome to all the new starters. I joined Commit to Six this time last year on the 3rd of April. I remember umming and ahhing and thinking, I'll just wait until the next intake in June. I was a bit nervous and full of self-doubt, but luckily I didn't delay because I remember a moment towards the end of May thinking, I'm so glad that I did start when I did, because the version of me who didn't would not be feeling as great as I do now. I honestly felt amazing. That was last year and I've not looked back since. I feel like I'm always progressing and living my best life. Bit cheesy, I know, but it's true. You're in great hands here." Could not have said it better myself. Like if I, you know, and it's like if Carlsberg wrote blah, blah, blah. If someone wrote me a testimonial for Commit to Six, I'd want it to say that. So firstly, thank you. Secondly, if that is how you're feeling, most people are apprehensive to start new things. Most people do find starting something new a little bit overwhelming, especially as an adult. And most people don't have a lot of self-belief because it's probably not the first diet you've ever done. But trust me, if you commit to this, this will be different. And if you want to talk to me beforehand, I'm going to leave my WhatsApp link in the show notes. If you want to find out more about the program, head over to esgfitness.co.uk/commit. I will also put that link in the show notes. And have incredible days.